the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes away, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies.
When the long night has ended, when the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on the bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by.
Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe, keep me safe, keep me safe, till the storm passes by.
Good to see all of you here today. I'm glad the clock didn't catch you, but I'm sure in a few minutes there'll be some walking in, forgetting that the time sprung forward on them. We'll be in Matthew chapter 21 today. If you're visiting with us for the first time this morning, thank you for being with us. We're glad that you are here. We're so thankful that you have come to worship with us this morning, and we trust you'll have a good time here in the house of God. It was good to hear the report back from the ladies who went down to the ladies' retreat. Had a good crowd that traveled down there to South Florida. Spent the evening down Friday night and come back up Saturday evening. And had a wonderful time there worshiping with ladies from around Florida. And so glad that they were able to do that. And on that note, men are behind the curveball. Not a person has signed up for the men's advance in April 7th and 8th. So over here will be a sheet of paper for the sign up. We've got to let them know who's coming. Normally take about five to 11 down to 10. It's in Tampa. So if you're going to go, please, today and tonight sometime, please sign your name up there so we can get a count. And the cost will be $65. That include the hotel stay and the conference cost. That is April 7th and 8th. April 7th and 8th. Coming right up on us real quick here. And if you're not able to make it because of work and all that, we understand. But we need to let them know so that they can have a schedule of who will be showing up to their meeting. All right, Brother Jim, think about this a minute. I forgot to tell you about Brother Hector being on vacation this week. That's why there's no thing. But at 5 o'clock or 5:15, if you need the choir, just let them know after when you close up, okay? All right, Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. Easter is right around the corner, and we're going to try something that I have never, ever done in my Christian life, and that is a Easter sunrise service. On Easter morning, we will meet when the sun rises, right out here on the church lawn, facing the way the sun comes up, and we'll have a service. Now, I'm going to start talking about this right now. This is not instead of the 11 o'clock service. This is in addition to. So what will happen is we'll meet, have our morning service, and then we'll have a breakfast here at the church, prepared hopefully by Brother Felipe. Where are you at, Brother Felipe? Oh, he's walking around doing his thing. And Brother Hector and Brother Paul has volunteered. They will come cook breakfast for us, and then we'll have breakfast here. Then we'll have our Sunday schools at 10 o'clock and our 11 o'clock Easter service. So get it in your gears, in your mind. So if you can make it to the sunrise service, we encourage you to please stay, because most of you will be in the choir. And if you're not here, all this practice you've done on the choir music will be for naught. So this is something we're going to try, see how the Lord blesses, and go from there. If it doesn't work out, then we'll just scratch it and keep serving the Lord. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 1. Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 1. We'll read down to verse number 16 this morning. And then we're going to talk about the coat, the crowd, and the children that's mentioned here in this here verses. Verse 1 of chapter 21 in the book of Matthew. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, they sent Jesus, two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Verse 7. And brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes. They sit him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strode them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold, bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Verse 13, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. The colt, the crowd, and the children. Now Jesus is and his disciples are approaching Jerusalem. And they stop in Bethphage. Bethphage is about a mile outside of Jerusalem. And if I remember correctly on the map, it's the northeast part and is divided by Mount Olives. So you have Mount Olives there, and around the ridge around the corner there, there's Bethphage and also Bethany. Now Bethany, you may remember, is the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. That was their house, and that's where he's at. And you notice in verse 17, the Bible says, and he left them, talking about the Pharisees and the scribes, this religious group, he left them and went out into the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. He didn't even want to be around this here religious group. He just left up out of the city of Jerusalem and went back over there to where he was at. Now this here marks the beginning of the end of Christ's earthly ministry. Now we know he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the everlasting and everlasting. It's not the end of Christ, but it's the marks the end, the beginning of the end of his earthly ministry. And then there'll be the new beginning. Of course, the trial and the crucifixion of Christ lay ahead there. And then there would be, of course, the resurrection after the burial, of being the 3 days in the ground, raised again. Now, there were thousands and thousands of people gathered here at Jerusalem. I mean, they had traveled. It was the Passover time, and they had traveled. They'd come here, and they were going to see. Now, many people, they call this the triumphant entry into Jerusalem that would take place there. You know, of course, Jesus takes his disciples. He sends them there to go find the donkey and the colt. And the colt, they bring it there. And then the crowd, they praise him, and they lay out the garments on the ground. They stroll palm trees and things of that nature. And this is what we call Palm Sunday, what they, you know, have on our calendar. You have Easter one Sunday, and then Sunday before that they have what's called Palm Sunday. And that's, this is the passage of Scripture where they get all that to. But then you notice here that the children are wiser than them all. I mean, the children in this group are much wiser, as we read through this, than the disciples, than the Pharisees and scribes there. And Jesus kind of says that in verse 16. But we're going to start here with the colt. Verses 2 through 7, you have Jesus giving his disciples strange instructions. Go into the village. You're going to find a colt there tied. And there, loose it, this unbroken colt, the foal, loose it and bring it to me. And if anybody says, if anybody in the village, anybody in the region says, hey, what are you doing there with that coat? Just say this to them: the Lord hath need of these. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, dear friend. The Lord has need of many today. Our problem is we're not willing to be loosed. We want to be tied up to the things of the world. We want to be tied up to the cares of the world. The Bible says to us that we are to cast our cares upon the Lord, for He careth for me. I'm telling you, God has use for you today. I'm amazed at the amount of Christians who says this, Brother Ray. They say, I don't think there's anything for me to do in the Lord's work. Oh, dear friend, you're wrong. Now, be honest with you, what they're saying is, Brother Chase, is they need a title. They need to be recognized for what they're about to do. They need to have a parking spot out front that says, this Sunday school teacher parks here. This associate parks there. This deacon parks there. This song leader parks here. Oh, dear friend, let me tell you something. We ought to be thankful that we have a new name written down in heaven. The Bible says that we are unprofitable servants at best. So it's a strange request. Now, I can imagine the disciples thinking, man, we're going to go up into this village and go in this town, and we're going to find a foal, an ass, and her colt there, and they're tied together. As soon as we do, the authorities, but they may arrest them. This is considered almost like Grand Theft Auto back then. You know, they didn't have no cars. They traveled by donkeys. They traveled by camel. They traveled by horse. And, you know, Jesus said, listen, say to them, the Lord hath need of these. And then here he comes. And they begin to bring down the unbroken colt and the ass, and they bring it down. The Bible says that they took their clothes off, the disciples, and they put it on top of the donkey. Now, listen, if you know anything about animals, you just don't climb upon an unbroken animal, a colt, a horse, a mule, a donkey, whatever it might be, a camel. You just don't climb up on top of it. But here the disciples let it down there. And here's another strange thing. They're thinking, now how in the world is he fixing to get on top of these deer and ride? Brought the mama and brought the colt. They put it on there. But lo and behold, here's this wild animal, never been sit upon, never been rode upon. And they clothe it over there with their blankets. And here Jesus just climbs up on it and sits down upon this stubborn-wheeled mule or colt or young foal that has never been sit upon and just entered in to the king, into Jerusalem as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords. This is why they call it the triumphant entry. I believe, personally, if you was to go back and study through Zechariah, that not all of the prophecies in Zechariah were fulfilled at this point. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 11 through 6, that Jesus is coming back and he's going to be riding upon a white horse. That's the triumphant entry. That's when he comes back in victory and he comes back leading his saints, and the thousands and ten thousands and thousands of saints will be riding with him there. And he comes back. And so I believe this is the beginning of that, so that they would recognize and know that this is the Messiah. And as he came back in, he comes in and this colt is in submission. That is how we are. The Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's that we are wild in our thinking, wild in our lives, and there's a sin that has been inherited and brought down through the blood, from father to children and passed on, and we live in this here sinful nature of body. And before we know Christ and knew Christ, dear friend, we were as this here colt and as this here young ass, as nobody had rode upon. We were wild and wanted to rule everything ourselves. But when Jesus came in, dear friend, when Jesus came into our lives, just like when he entered in here, this colt just came, just like the legion that we talked about in the book of Mark, that we studied back about 3-4 weeks ago. We studied about this here legion who was, they tried to chain him, they tried to cuff him, they tried to tie him up. No man could subdue him. But when Jesus came on the scene, the Bible says they found him seated in his right mind, clothed at the feet of Jesus. Listen, dear friend, if you're missing out on the peace of God because of your wildness, because of the sin that's in your life, I'm here to tell you that Jesus, this same Jesus, which we're reading about coming in, riding upon this coat, he desires to come into your life and to live in your life and to be your Savior and to be the ruler of your life, to be the King of Kings of your life, and to bring peace into the wildness of your life. Jesus can do it. Jesus can. He's the only thing that can. So Jesus coming in, they brought this colt, and Jesus sit upon him. He come riding in. In verses 8 to 11, the Bible says there, a very great multitude spread their garments. They begin to say, here comes Jesus. Here comes the Messiah. They begin to take off their coats and now lay down upon the road. Take these palm branches and put them out there. Take a straw and throw it out. So as Jesus come in, a great multitude. And then it says, others cut down branches from the trees and throw them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So the multitude's there and they're working around and the crowd begins to praise and they begin to sing Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And boy, isn't it funny how fickle people are? Isn't it how funny how right now this here is 1 week prior to the crucifixion. They're praising him. They're Hosanna. They're taking their own coats and laying them down. But in 1 week's time, soon all the cheers that we're hearing now begin to turn into jeers. Soon, all the blessings, Hosanna, blessed to the highest, become boos. Soon, crown him becomes what? Crucify him. Isn't it amazing how whenever they come to praise him as man, because that's what they wanted, a king. They did not want a redeemer. They wanted a king that would set back up the nation of Israel. They wanted a king that would run out the Roman Empire. They wanted a man that would lead a military might. And boy, they were cheering. They were praising. They were throwing down their garments. In one week's time, boy, how it changes. That's why I'm telling you, dear friend, we have to be careful with this man worship. We have to be careful when we place man upon a pedestal. This is what they did. Listen, Jesus was 100% man. He was 100% God. But at this point, they were worshiping him as man and man alone. And they were happy. They were excited. That's why we have to be very careful with how we praise and worship, and we have a system of glorifying God. Now, I'm going to pause here for a moment. Catch your breath. I'm not fixing to fight and argue with you about this. But if we are clapping as a church because of the performance that we just saw, because of what men did, because of what the singer did, because of what the choir did, boy, they did a wonderful job. That is not right. Now, glory to God. That was great. Thank you, Jesus, for touching my heart. If it is pointed toward God, then it's okay. Now we have to be careful. Man's praise, and 1 week later, become jealousy, envy, strife, and anger. If we're not careful with the praise that we offer up and has to go toward God, it will turn into jealousy. Who in the world they think they are singing like that? I can sing better than that. And it becomes boos and jeers. And it becomes man praise instead of pointing to God. Do you understand something? Jesus was still headed to the cross here. Jesus was still on his way to the cross. You know what messed him up? He got over there into the temple, Sister Barbara, and messed up their economical system. This is the second time that he purged the temple. Some people don't realize that. Some people think this is just, oh, Jesus showed up in the temple. He's mad because they're selling things. And it wasn't because they were selling things. The problem was it was organized religion that bothered Jesus. Look with me over and let's see where it's at. I got a note here somewhere. Where's my note? John something. John chapter 2. Hold your place here. Flip over to John chapter 2. Verse 13. John chapter 2. In verse 13, the Gospel of John chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says it, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went up into Jerusalem. The Passover was a feast. It was set up and founded throughout Scripture. It was in the Word of God. They could follow it and they come through. It was about whenever the nation of Israel was let out of Egypt, and there was a put the blood on the doorpost, and it was a time of a Passover. And look here, it's a time, it's a festival. It is a religious time that God had put forth. It was something that should take place according to the nation of Israel. Verse 14, and found in the temple those that sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the changers of money sitting there. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, the sheep and the oxen, poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. For his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And he answered to the Jews and said unto them, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple. In 3 days I will raise it up. And he said, the Jews, 46 years was the temple of building. Wilt thou rear it in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. And therefore he was risen from the dead. Disciples remembered that he had said these unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, the feast days, many believed in his name, and when they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. And did not that any should testify of men, for he knew what was in men. That's the first cleansing. Again, showed up, and there was this organized religion going. What was happening was, you know, it was a system of sacrifice, and the Jews was taught and reared and raised up in Judaism to bring sacrifices to the temple, and some of them lived quite a few hours and traveling ways, and maybe they had to bring a dove, and it was according to their economical status, what they could afford. God was very oriented in what he did, so he didn't overbear sacrifices on some, and so they'd have to travel, and you know, with a lamb, they were to watch that thing for about 14 days and make sure everything was no spot, no blemishes. If they couldn't afford, they were to bring something else, like even down to a turtle dove, even down to meal. Well, you know, it made common sense. Man, I'll just buy one in Jerusalem. Why bring one? Because it wasn't God's way. It wasn't how God set it up. And so you'd have these guys out here, and they'd have all these animals, these money exchangers, and they'd come there, and guess who controlled all the sales? High priest. Scribes and Pharisees. Those that were in charge of the religious system. Hey, now, if you're going to sell that there cows over here, you're going to sell them sheep over here, now you're going to have to rent this spot. And it became a business. Unfortunately, that is what's happening to us today in America. Our worship times is becoming more business-oriented than it is God-oriented. And God was not happy with it. The Son of God came in and cleansed it then. And before he got there to head to the cross of Calvary, he said, I've got to get them to understand this. This is not what I'm desiring. So again, he did it again in Matthew chapter 21. He cleansed the temple again. Now do you see what changed? Worshipping him as a man. And then God says, in verse 12, that Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them and sold and brought into the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said to them, it is written, my house. Now he's speaking as God. My house. Now it's no longer worshiping as a man. Now he is saying, I am the I am. And it bothered their system. You know what usually bothers folks? When their tradition and system gets messed up. Whenever it doesn't go quite like they think it should go. Listen, this ain't about you and this ain't about me. God has left us a plan and a pattern written in the Word of God. It's how God says it should go. And when God says it should go a certain way, he's not going to step aside and say, well, you know, it's culture. Well, okay, it's all right, it's tradition. God says, I'm a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. It's supposed to go a certain way. How I have redeemed it. You know, the Bible says, no man can come to the Father except by me. You're not going to get your own way and own route up there, because what's going to happen, there's going to be conflict of the flesh and the spirit in you. And if you like worship a certain way that's contrary to Scripture, whenever the Bible says, no, this is not how it's going to be, this is not how it's supposed to be, the flesh is bothering. Ain't nobody going to tell me how to worship God. But the Bible says if we're going to worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. The way we know how to worship is because of what's written in the Word of God. You understand something different? Worship is more than whenever we're singing. You know, worship is part of taking up the offerings, worship. Singing the choir. You're worshiping. You're not just putting on a program. This is not about social, socializing. This is about coming and meeting with the Lord, Lord, King of Kings. You call every single special. This is not about a performance. This is about worship. To a God who is holy and righteous and above all paid everything so you and I could have access to the throne through Jesus Christ. See, it now it's starting to change on them. Now that if we were there, if we were in this place that was happening, I bet you some of them would say, man, if I'd known he was going to throw the money changers out, I wouldn't have threw my coat down. Now I got to go to the cleaners. Now I got to go down here to the river and wash my coat. I'm doing that because I wanted a king. See, everything we see in religion has many times no finding in Scripture. Religion will do a whole lot for you as far as aggravation. Because you can't ever achieve. You never can get to the point where you're accepted in the beloved. That's why Jesus said it's in Him and Him alone. Boy, he comes in there and upsets the crowd. Then you have these children, verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple. I've already read verse 12. Let's read verse 13. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Verse 14. Look at this here. This is amazing to me right here. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Let me pause there just for a minute. This here just popped out to me right here. He's coming in on a colt that has not been tamed. Pretty interesting. Crowds cheering. He's overthrowing tables. All this here, what would Jesus do? He's overthrowing tables, running money changers out. And he pauses, Brother Ray, for the lame. And the blind, and the sick. In the middle of all this, Jesus still has time for the least. Jesus stops it. And everything going on, the blind, the lame, healed them. And then the religious crowd begins to be bothered. And when the chief priest and the scribes, listen how they described it, saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. You see what religion does for you? This is what religion does. How dare him have kids come up there on the platform and bring money up on Wednesday night. What's wrong with him? Don't he know that that's a bother? Really? Jesus sent the children up front. You know what he said? Hey, back off. Back up. Bring the little children. Suffer. Help the little children. Come unto me. They were sore to... You know why they're displeased? Their money system. Their little plaque. Jesus had tore their plaque down. Reserved. Reserved for the money exchangers in the temple. He tore their system apart. Now they're bothered. But without denying, they saw the wonderful things that he did. And they were displeased. Not just displeased, Brother James. The Bible says sore displeased. Verse 16, and he said unto him, hearest thou what these say? The Pharisee, the chief priest, mad, upset. And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read? Isn't that the same thing he said to the devil? You remember Matthew 4? When Jesus was led out into the wilderness to be tempted, and the devil showed up there after the 40 days of fasting. He said, here's some rocks. Why don't you turn these rocks into bread if you be God? Yea, have you never read? Surely the chief priest had read the Bible. Surely the scribes who wrote down and copied the word, they wrote till they had another copy. And history says, and the historians say, that if they made so many mistakes, they would throw the whole thing away and start again. And Jesus said to them, have you not read? I'm amazed at the biblical ignorance that we have in Christianity today. We have more Bibles than you can shake a stick at in our homes. I mean, we have more, the Word of God is readily available. It's not chained here through the platform, so the only time we can get up here and read it is here, and spend time with it right around the platform. No, we have them in our car, we have them in our Bibles, we have them in our iPods, we have them in our house. We have family Bibles sitting on the coffee tables. And sometimes we come and say, you know, I just don't like the way this is going. And you say, it's in the Bible, dear friend. Have you never read? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Jesus said, have you never read? Jesus is healing the blind, the angry, they're angry, mad at him. The praise of the children rising up. I'm telling you, this is the importance of reaching kids because Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. You know how to praise God? Get around these kids. Get around a child who hasn't been conflicted by tradition and religion. Get around these children who they just want to love on God. Just want to have a little time with God. Little kids who just want to spend a time around the feet of the Lord. Let me ask you something, dear friend. Is your will surrendered to the Savior? Are we occupied with true and pure praise to the Lamb of God? We have that childlike faith that we should have. Just that childlike faith. You know, there's that show that came on a couple years ago by Jeff Foxworthy, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Some of you probably watched it. I think I watched it like 3 times. I figured out I wasn't smarter than him, so I didn't want to get my ego hurt no more, so I quit watching it. Pretty clean. I think too many times we grow up in our religion, we grow up in our tradition, we grow up in the way we think it should go, and we outgrow that childlike faith. We outgrow that love of the Savior like we had when we were first bought by the blood. Are you wise as these children here? Or is it like in verse 17? And he left them. You know, the Bible talks about that over in the New Testament, over in the book of Revelation. And Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Is Jesus knocking at your heart today? Is he knocking at the door of your heart, dear friend? Is he there? We see the beginning of the end. Here's the coat, the crown. Here's these children. And it's all headed to the cross of Calvary. How's your relationship with Jesus today? How is it? Are we looking at him only as man, what he can do for us as man? Or are we looking at Jesus as 100% man who could suffer and feel pain and feel hurt and feel loneliness like you and I? And 100% God who can feel that void in our life and take away the suffering, take away the pain, take away the loneliness, because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let's stand our feet. It's bowed, eyes closed. Brother Jim's going to lead us in a song of invitation. We're going into the Easter season. I'd ask you this morning to think about what Easter truly means. It was the time where Jesus paid our sin debt. He went to the cross of Calvary so that you and I could have eternal life. He was buried and rose again the third day, like the Scripture says. And the Bible says, if any man, boy, girl, woman, would call upon him in faith and repentance, they shall be saved. This Sunday morning, I don't know that if you're saved or not saved, that's between you and God. But if you've never made a decision to trust Christ, I can say according to the Bible, you're not saved. But Jesus would love to save you today, make you part of his family.